special moment that we wait for every week.
Pretty exciting, huh?
They're back with a big new program.
When you hear the chime, it will be exactly...
Who wants an orange whip?
Are we live? Yeah!
Orange whip.
Come get some.
Orange whip.
And here it is.
Three orange whips.
Party, I'm more like a riot.
Nail down the roof, gang.
Here's Johnny.
You shall see that.
He's alive.
Wonderful to Tim.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Hail to the king, baby.
Release the Kraken.
It's showtime.
It is showtime. It is the big program, and we are, I would like to say we're back, but we're treating this as episode number one, so we're not back. We're here for the first time. We're here again for the very first time. My name is Derek Knight, and with me is Colin Burton.
Hello, everybody.
My sister Heather.
Hello.
And Jessica Robot Narwhal, or did you, is that the name you wanted to use?
It's what you guys have always called me. I mean, it's weird how other people call me that name more than I've ever called myself that name.
But I mean, it was your Facebook name Zuckerberg zucked you.
Call me Jessica.
Jessica.
Yeah.
Okay, that seems very formal.
Yeah.
Ms. Jessica over there in
the
corner.
Or Jess.
Yeah.
If you call me Jesse, I'll punch you in the face.
Right, yeah, that's not cool. Like, why is it that so many people feel the need to add an affectation on the back of a name when it's not their name? Like, oh, Jesse, Maxi, Colony. I mean, they probably have never done that to you, Colin, because there's really no way to affectionately shorten your name.
No, and my previous name was Roy. So
Lenny.
Roy-y.
Lenny. Lenny.
Wait,
has anybody ever called you Lenny?
Lenny? Lenny? Why would they call me Lenny?
Call Lynn. Lenny.
Hold on.
No,
can we back up for a second? Did you say your name is Roy?
His real name.
My birth name, yeah.
His original name is Roy.
Wow. Yeah.
Roy.
That's hard to shorten, too.
Roy E.
Yeah, it really is.
Oi, Roy. Yeah, there's nothing you can do with that.
I just learned something I never knew about.
Well, yeah, you can mess everything.
Just leave it to kids to figure it out.
Nobody can spell my name properly. But so what did the kid? So when you went to school,
it doesn't.
When you went to school, how long were you Roy while you went to school?
Probably till third grade.
Third grade, and so the kids made fun of you in some way.
Always.
Yeah. But you're not going to say how they made fun of you.
No. Only one little bit has stuck with me, and I'd just as soon let that pass. So.
I still hold a grudge, and I'm trying
That's
to
right.
let go of it.
How did they make fun of you, Derek?
Oh, well, mostly it was about my hair, about my good grades, and about the fact that I'm fat. And, you know, that's really when people decide that it's time to attack me, that's the first stop. And it's like, newsflash, I own a mirror. Like, it's not like I left the house svelte and I just bloated up. I know. Like, if you're going to start shouting, hey, fat ass, it's like, thank you.
You know,
I don't have a mirror for that part of my body all the time, so I need confirmation.
I read an article recently, one of these clickbait articles, that it said that all children are born creative geniuses and we just send them to school and the school system just screws them up. And I'm like, no, they're not.
No, they're...
If they were creative geniuses, they wouldn't be like, no, you're fat.
No, most
they could
kids,
think of something better.
Most people are born stupid, and that's the reason we have Trump as president. I mean, let's be fair. There was a time when those people who would have voted for Trump would have been weeded out of society, and then we banned jarts. And those people who would stand under jarts and get speared in the brain and be, you know, essentially taken out of society through natural selection made it to adulthood and voted in Trump.
You know, they have lawn darts at Walmart now.
But they're not
calling lawn darts.
Yeah, but
they have like a very blunt end. There's no dart on the end of it. It's like a glorified beanbag with a little feathery looking thing on the back of it.
You can't kill a simpleton with one of those. You can't expect a simpleton to kill themselves with one of those.
You have to work harder.
You just have to be.
You don't have to let gravity
hold
take it
them with still. A beanbag.
Let me drop this off the top of the apartment building.
Oh, my.
Stand in the circle, Billy.
Yeah. Open your mouth. It's coming.
Don't take it out. I'm sorry if you can't breathe. No. It's this new program, this new big program that we've decided to do. I don't want to look backwards, but I do want to. I mean, it's the first episode, so we should look backwards a little bit. I mean, we started podcasting, in 2004? 2005 originally. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of people come and go on the podcast, and some people, let's bring the room down, have died. I mean, mm-hmm. Justin died in 2014, as did our dad, Jess Knight. He was a staple on the podcast, especially when he talked about wetting the bed and getting electrocuted through his penis, which really, if you want to listen to that, I mean, that's buried somewhere in the archives, and it's worth a listen. We lost Johnny Houston, who Heather and I both worked with at the radio station in 2016. Carl Gardner, the lead singer of the Coasters, I got to interview him, and he was an old man, and now he's a dead man. He's no longer old. He's dead. And Dung, M. Dung, who was a good friend of the show, Mike Slavko, who fell ill and died very suddenly, but he was inducted into the Bay Area Radio Hall of Fame, finally, posthumously, which is an honor that I think it would have been cool for him to experience, and one that was well-deserved. But, you know, people... He felt that people had forgotten him until he got back into podcasting. And if you remember the first time we interviewed him and how angry he was, like, I'm done with that. I've outgrown it. And then it's like, nope, he's going to do it again. Yeah. Because once it's in your blood, radio people, and there's three radio people in this room, I'm going to exclude you from this discussion, Colin.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Once it's in you, it can't get out. And that's one of the things that Johnny Houston said, was it's always this monkey on your back that keeps whipping you. Sometimes
kind of like
it's
malaria.
It is. It's like malaria. Radio is like malaria. And there's who else has died? There's somebody I'm forgetting. Somebody. Capenzi.
Capenzi, no.
Capenzi died in 2015, and that was the last time we posted an episode. Was in 2015, and we did an entire episode memorializing Capenzi.
You know,
for her hard turn into the enclosure.
I would make a comment
instant
about
giraffe death.
Kicking a dead giraffe.
Here's the thing. With the magic of technology, we can talk to Capenzi. We can absolutely talk to Capenzi, and we're going to talk to Capenzi. That's the ice machine, for those of you who are wondering what that is. But we're going to talk to Capenzi. I'm going to go make another cocktail. Foot, why don't you handle this call, all right?
No, let's let Jess handle this call.
Oh, no. I think you should talk to Capenzi.
As long as it's either of you, I'm good.
We all hate talking on...
Hate talking.
How did this happen?
What did I do wrong? Why am I being punished?
It's a great day in hell. Thank you for calling. Where may I direct your call?
I would like to speak with Capenzi, please.
Okay, hold on. Capenzi! Phone for you! No, don't run! Don't! Oh, God damn it. Okay, here she is.
Hello?
Capenzi?
Yes?
Hi!
Hi!
Guess who this is?
Pizza?
Ooh, close.
Oh, okay, hi.
Hi, it's the son of cheese.
It's not. I hear that show is dead. It's right here in hell next to me.
Aww.
You're now called the big program. You have to remember that.
But I like son of cheese. Can you bring son of cheese back and you, like, push it up for us and we can take it back?
Hold on, let me try.
Kenzie, no.
Oh, God, no, my neck isn't strong enough. It's bent.
Okay, sorry.
Three vertebrae broke, and I've died instantly. I don't know if you knew that.
I did know that, but I thought that maybe when you got to hell, everything would get fixed.
I'm a dead giraffe.
Yeah, are you walking around with your neck all bent over in hell?
I am. Hey, is there anybody else there I could talk to?
Absolutely. There's two other people.
Hey, Capenzi.
Awesome. Hey.
Capenzi.
Yeah.
This is Jessica. I have a question for you.
Hi, Jessica.
How is it
that... What are you wearing?
Oh.
Who are you wearing? They asked that on the red carpet.
This is awkward.
There's a lot of people here.
I have a question for you, Capenzi.
A lot of Oscar winners. What?
I have a question for you.
Oh.
You were so young when you died.
I was.
How'd you end up in hell?
Well, I had a lot of impure thoughts. People didn't believe me. My name is Swahili for favorite. And, everybody treated me like shit. They're like, 3 million people watched me be born. And then people are like, nah, you're just a giraffe, we're done with you. And I'm like, well, fuck those people. And I guess that's it. Like, you have one impure thought and you're in hell.
I don't want to talk about the Bible with a dead giraffe.
But I haven't had a conversation with anybody in 4 years.
All right.
It's really lonely here in hell. You guys are great conversationalists. Is there anybody else there I can talk to?
Yeah, kinda.
Is this the manager?
Yes.
I would like to lodge a complaint.
Okay.
The other two people don't like to talk to giraffes. I think they are giraffophobic.
Well, maybe it's the way your head's lolling.
You can't see me.
No, but I mean, you can kind of hear it.
You can imagine it.
Yeah.
You can hear it smacking flop, against your
flop,
side.
Flop, flop. Looks like a giant dick with no firmness.
Okay.
I'm a giraffe head.
That it is.
Okay.
Okay.
Why don't you grace us with a giraffe song, Capenzi? Maybe that'll cheer us all up.
Giraffe song, my brother murdered me in my pen. It wasn't an accident, I didn't take a hard turn. My brother murdered me in my pen. That's my giraffe song.
Thanks for the tip.
You're welcome.
Okay, we had to put Capenzi back in her pen, but thanks for calling, guys. Bye now.
So I have been doing a lot more traveling. I have a job now that I work from home. I get to work from home. And that's great, but that also means that I can work from anywhere I please. And so sometimes I have to travel for work, and sometimes I travel for this comedy thing. But then I still have to work while I'm traveling for comedy. So people are like, oh, let's go out. I was like, I kind of have to, you know, like, work. But I've been treating them as little mini vacations. And the problem with that is that I always have had this mental block, like, hey, if I'm on vacation, I can eat whatever and whenever I want. And it's not serving me very well. But with that said, I want to talk about some of the best vacations that you guys have taken, and maybe some of the worst as well. We'll start with Heather.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's me.
What's the best vacation that you've ever been on?
Oh, I've had a couple. I mean, like when I went to Vegas with Colin, when he actually asked me to marry him, that was a pretty good vacation.
Actually asked you.
Mm-hmm.
Was there like a preliminary ask? Was there like a preemptive, like, I want to take you on this vacation, but if you say no, I'm going to leave you there. So I have to say, I have to ask you kind of a soft question.
There was kind of like, I mean, like, the way he would say things like, well, would you ever take my name? Would you ever use...
She still hasn't.
I still haven't.
She's like, no.
I said yes, and then
what?
I never did.
No. Jesus, no.
But,
why?
Know.
It's the name of a snowboard manufacturer. Why would I want that?
No, I want to hear how this all went down. I've never heard this story before. So how'd he do it?
It was...
how'd he do it?
He had actually, I think, didn't you plan to... You wanted to get married in Vegas?
I don't think so.
You had thought about that. You mentioned it to me because we were sitting in one of the big, I think it was the Bellagio, and they were having a wedding there, and these people walked by, and he said something about getting married in Vegas, and I said, I'm pretty sure you can't just go into a chapel and be like, marry us. You actually have to have a marriage license or whatever.
Pay the state their money and whatnot.
Yeah. So he was like, okay, never mind. But then when we got home, he took me to Kohl's, and we bought my engagement ring, and he asked me in the parking lot if I would marry him.
Whoa, hold on. Hold on. So
he was like, I guess I should make this official.
So you went to Kohl's and you got the ring from Kohl's, which, I mean, they have a reasonable jewelry department. Mm-hmm. But then you were like, fuck it. Parking lot of Kohl's is the most romantic location in Colorado Springs. Wait, which Kohl's, though?
The one on Powers?
The one on Powers.
Oh, my God. Really? So, like, within sight of the Texas Roadhouse is what you're
we
saying.
We had our backs to the Roadhouse.
So you could only smell the peanuts. All right, yes. Cool. Yeah. That's super romantic.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, that's my middle name.
Yep. Roy Romantic Burton.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Now, see, I'm interested to ask Colin about his best vacation, because if he doesn't corroborate the, oh, when I asked you to marry me story, I don't know how this is going to turn out.
He's his own man. He can have had better vacations than that.
No, actually, we'd talked about this in advance, and I had already said that that was my best vacation, so.
So they coordinated so they wouldn't look like, you know, they were having problems.
Well, no, I honestly didn't expect her to say that. I thought she'd have a different vacation because, you know.
Supernatural Con or...
Yeah.
The Phoenix Supernatural Convention is, like, probably number two vacation because we rented a Mustang.
Married, Phoenix Supernatural Con!
But we rented a Mustang. It was fun. I was skinny. I mean, you know.
What did you do at Phoenix Supernatural Con, though?
sat
what
around.
What happens at a supernatural con?
You spend a lot of time.
And money.
And money. You spend, you spend a lot of time sitting down, watching people on stage tell stories, and then you spend a lot of time standing in line waiting to meet said people that told stories and get pictures with them.
Is that just a standard con experience? I have never been to a con, so to speak, so I don't understand what the standard con experience is like.
Well, the only two that I've ever been to, really, I mean, gone to three Supernatural conventions and then the Colorado Springs Comic Con. And the only difference at the Comic-Con was that everybody that was involved in the con actually had their own tables, and you could go up and talk to them at the table and pay money to get a selfie with them or an autograph. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the Supernatural convention, you have to have a ticket in order to actually talk to them or meet them and get an autograph and or picture.
Hmm.
And you stand in line for a lot of time that you're there.
And how much time, like, versus how much time versus how long you spend in line do you get with these people that you've paid to bask in their presence?
30 seconds tops if you're getting a picture.
30 seconds tops. And how much do you pay for the privilege of 30 seconds of basking in the presence of a celebrity?
It depends on the celebrity. The cheapest one, I believe, was like Richard Spate Jr., Rob Benedict. They were like $50. Jensen Ackles was $200. And then I got one last year in Denver that was four of them, and it was $350.
Even for the cheapest celebrity, and let's be fair, it's kind of sad to be the cheap celebrity.
Yeah, I feel bad. I feel really bad. Celebrity.
You are still paying $1.67 per second of their time.
Mm-hmm. You are.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
Like, they're celebrities. They have more money than you already. And yet you're giving of...
But they're not getting all of that money. All they get like a percentage of it, I'm sure, from creation, but creation is going to get the bulk of it. So...
Yeah, the man is going to take their cut.
The man!
I'll bet they don't.
Don't blame Jensen Ackles' beautiful face for how much he charges for a photo.
$350 for 30 seconds of time.
With four of them.
With four of them?
That was the most expensive one, yeah.
And a picture.
That was the picture. So, I mean, you get the picture for, you know, that was a very expensive picture.
So, hold on. You spent $350 for four at once with photographic evidence?
That's like $12 a second.
This is starting to sound really pornographic to me.
Yeah. And, I mean, there are people whom I admire, obviously, but I don't think I would pay that much money to be in their presence.
We did get VIP tickets to Weird Al.
Yeah, but that's different. Weird Al is cool. And that was...
Oh, okay. Okay.
But, plus, that VIP experience was more than just 30 seconds in his presence.
That's true.
That was
right up
front.
We did get to go to a bunch
front.
Of extra entertainment
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, right up front for the Weird Al Jeopardy show, the right up front for the concert. There was a...
Yeah, there was a lot included with
I mean,
that.
There was the meet and greet with other fans, which, I'll be honest, that... Fuck that.
There are very few Weird Al fans who are like, I want to connect with other Weird Al fans.
I have a strict no fellowship policy and no fraternization policy with other people. So it's not like I'm like, oh, wow, like-minded people. No, they're even if I have a lot in common, like the Pikes Peak Broadcasters group or close personal friends of Weird Al Facebook group, I'm still like, these people are morons. Like, absolutely, I have nothing in common with these people, especially the broadcasters group. It's just
boy,
a bunch.
Boy, I hope they listen to this podcast.
They won't, but it's just a bunch. It is just a bunch of ineffectual old conservatives who just, their place is gone. They had one skill, and that was radio, and radio's gone. It's done. And now they just sit around and bitch about how life is going, the world, and blarb. It's like, you are just an old man yelling at a cloud at this point. And we've all been that old man yelling at a cloud. But this is an entire group of old men yelling at clouds. And I'm like, holy shit, you guys just, wow. But whatever makes you happy. And like that dumb old Pictures of Colorado Springs group has devolved into, remember this restaurant? Well, of course, everybody remembers the goddamn restaurant. It's gone now. Shut up about it.
Unless stop reminiscing.
Well, that's it. It's, the group itself is called Old Pictures of Colorado Springs, mm-hmm. not Shitty Memories of Colorado Springs. Unless you got a picture, shut the fuck up.
Well, it's tricky to come up with new old pictures because...
There's only so many.
They're done.
Exactly.
I mean, if you don't have access to them.
You know, shut it down. Just shut the group down. End it. What are you going to do, Photoshop some shit in? It's like, hey, look, I Photoshopped our current mayor with our old mayor. Oh, woo. Go to hell. Eat a dick. How's that?
And how then do you really feel?
Well, how I really feel is instantly turn off notifications. If I comment on anything that has anything to do with a group or James Brown, and I like James, but he asks dumb questions because he's a celebrity. And he does that so he can get fodder for whatever the hell he does later in the day on KKTV. And it's just like, I'll answer, but then it's immediately turn off notifications. And usually it only pops up in my feed if she answers first and I'm pointing at Heather or Diana Beatty. And it's like, I'll offer my not sarcastic opinion on this and then instantly turn off comments because holy shit. One time I made somebody mad on James's question because it was, what is your biggest pet peeve? And the person right before I went to comment did one of those your problematic things right. where it was wrong. And I was like, yeah, poor grammar. I just took a screen cap of it. Boom. Turn off notifications because you know, there's going to be 5 or 6 angry faces and some angry comments on that, but maybe. Yeah, I feel like it's a service. Will they ever learn their lesson? That's the question.
Who will
people
learn their lesson?
People that use improperly use there and there and your.
They'll never learn because now everybody has spell check and your or there is actually a word.
So it shows up correct.
Yes.
Here's the thing. It goes so much deeper than just those types of errors. People don't learn how to write in complete sentences anymore.
I forget that you have a master's degree in English, so you could tell us more about this.
You know, once you get beyond a bachelor's level education, it becomes less about syntax and grammar and more about larger conceptual things. But it does bother me that I think that partly due to the speed at which information moves in social media. You know, you've got the Twitter generation of 144 characters or less. And instead of learning to write nice, clean, concise, short sentences that express one idea apiece, people just don't learn to write sentences at all. And there are college-educated people out there who have no idea what makes a complete sentence anymore. And it makes me angry.
I have an associate's degree.
A single tier.
You got a degree, Colin?
Not really.
You got a degree, Heather?
No.
You're the only college-educated one in the room, college girl.
Ah, shit. I had no idea. What?
Academic. What? The academic in the corner.
And yet, the people in this room, dare I say, had a slightly more old-school education than, say, some of these, call them the Twitter crowd.
Oh, no, I don't think so, because I have a lot of people on my Facebook feed whom I went to high school with, and I'm sorry if you're one of the ones who's listening to this, but you guys are fucking moronic. You're so stupid. They're just that's another thing. Like, I don't have anything in common with these people.
I'm disappointed in America in general right now, the United States in general right now, with the lack of education and also this sort of gung-ho attitude that being smart is bad and being intelligent is bad and knowing facts is bad. And instead it's just like, well, I think ...
Well, it's true. There was a big push. I know when I was younger that everyone's opinion was valid.
Yeah. And now it is killed intellectualism. Yeah, and it makes me
it's
sad.
Like, no, not everyone's opinion is valid. If you come in with zero knowledge on a subject, your opinion really isn't valid at all. I mean, doesn't stop you from saying anything
or becoming president.
Jarts, I swear to God, Jarts.
Dare we bring back the anti-vaxxers?
Jarts could make America great again. Just one lawn darts sent to the White House. And I swear he'll wander under one of those things within 10 minutes.
What's wrong? He's got a dart in his skull. It's all right. Put some eucalyptus oil on it. That'll heal right up.
Aloe. Put some aloe on it.
Aloe will fix it.
Oh, wow. We really went down a depressing rabbit hole.
We did.
We should lighten this up.
We should stop with the politics.
And we're going to talk. Well, we're not going to talk. We're going to listen because my mom, your mom too.
Yes.
She's retired now. And she's got nothing but time to go to lunches and garden and see movies. And I asked her when I was trying to dial these mics in when you guys weren't here, what was the most recent movie that she saw?
Hey, that's Karen!
The last movie I saw was The Missing Link.
It was an animated movie about the most darling Yeti. I don't think he was Yeti. He was the other thing, the abominable snowman. But he lived in, like, Oregon or Washington. And some guy came and found him. He was a ritzy titty hotty guy. I don't mean ritzy titty. very fancy. I think Hugh Jackman played his voice in the movie. Anyway, he found him and he was going to take him to Shangri-La. Is that where Yetis live? Is that where the Yetis live? Whatever. He takes him there and he meets his woman that he kind of likes, but she's kind of a bitchy little thing. And but they go on this trek and they take all these Sherpas with them and they climb up the mountain. They're trying to find Shangri-La because that's where apparently his Yetis live and he wants to be with people like him. It's really a cute movie. It's rather far-fetched. I mean, just climbing and climbing and climbing ice mountains, which you know is impossible, and they're not, you know, dressed for it. The woman has on black boots with heels, and but it's a cute movie as far as that goes, so I'm done talking about it. Oh, by the way, he didn't find any Yetis, so he had to go back home.
Spoiler!
She is the biggest spoiler I have ever known in my life!
Spoiler alert!
Like, so the moral of the story is don't try to find your people. You never will.
I guess.
Also,
and ice climbing is impossible.
Yeah. It's she was okay with Yetis and Yeti women and bitchy little Yetis, but she could not, like, suspend her disbelief for ice climbing.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Walking in high heels, impossible. Nailed it. A+ review, Karen. A+.
We need her to review more movies.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
There will definitely be more stream of consciousness. Hey, that's Karen reviews in the future.
She is so charming. I love her.
We need to get her take on the Marvel Universe on recorded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we the last time 4 years ago was her take on Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. We're not going to replay that. But yeah, we do know that she's got the chops to review the Marvel Universe.
This is episode one, though. We've got to move forward.
No, it's more true. We got to move forward. And you know she loves Thor. So anything to do with Thor,
get her opinion on Thor in the last movie. You've seen it, right?
No, shut up. I haven't. Spoiler alert, don't talk to me ever again.
Your mother.
Yeah, we have not yet seen Captain Marvel.
Oh, my.
Nor have we seen the most recent Avengers movie.
I do know a spoiler from Captain Marvel because I put it in a video round this week.
Don't tell me. I haven't seen it yet, and I've been trying to avoid spoilers on all of that stuff.
Okay, well, then we'll not talk about
it. But you haven't seen Black Panther yet either, and Shuri is, like, my favorite thing ever.
I've seen a lot of scenes from Black
Panther. She's going to get her own animated show, I saw.
Really?
And that makes me really excited. I hope it happens because she's a badass.
Was that on, like, Disney Channel?
I have no idea. It was yet another thing that I get my news from Facebook, so you know how reliable that is. Scrolling past, and I'm like, oh, Shuri, glowing fists, animated, badass, great, can't wait for it. Move on. What kind of cheese am I? You know,
what kind of cheese are you?
I didn't take that quiz.
Brie!
I don't trust
those
quizzes.
I was going to say Brie.
Baked Brie, which sounds more like a cheerleader trying weed for the first time.
Definitely not baked Brie. If I was Brie, I'd be like... I'd be probably more like something a little bit funkier than Brie, like Color Rouge, like Stinky Brie.
Right. Okay.
That's me.
Thanks, college. Brie. Okay. College educated over there talking about
you
cheese.
Don't have to be college educated to enjoy funky cheese.
That's true. All you have to do is have a King Supers in your area because they've got a cheese selection to beat the band.
And
if there was a band that you had to beat to get the cheese, yeah, you could do it.
Have the kind of chutzpah to go by the cheese stand like 4 or 5 times during your shopping experience and ask to try different samples of things and then continue to dig through the less than $5 bin and ultimately buy $3.92 worth of cheese.
I like that your definition of chutzpah is asking for more than one cheese sample. Like
that. Well, how do you kids get rebellious?
Boy, you got a lot of gumption. You want to try Humboldt Fog and Camembert? What the hell?
I can't decide. Can I get some of the Truffalo and some of the Manchego?
Truffalo?
Yeah.
Mark Truffalo? Does it turn into the Hulk when it gets angry?
Oh, God, I don't know. Maybe that was Hulk? What was wrong with my stomach last night.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah, she was farty.
Thanks for sharing.
Well, we tend to sleep in shifts. Here's a little insight. If I'm restless, and I was because my hip is killing me. I dislocated my hip a couple years ago. I'm fat. I'm old. I'm dead. But I couldn't get to sleep. And she was just sawing logs and farting up a storm. And that's just like, well, that's no, it's fine. I mean, that means that she's going to feel better in the morning.
Not appropriate to share, Derek.
Sorry. It's real life, and people like real life. No, they don't. Look at them. They just went silent.
Oh, no. I was just thinking about how we share a room with poor dogs.
They were just thinking about so it tends farting.
To get fragrant. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, and that's night. The thing. Like, you can only blame it on the dogs so many times.
Not when you got four of them.
Right.
You can just always blame it on the dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what y'all do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make eye contact, like, multiple times per night.
And that is why having pets is the key to a quality relationship.
Is it? Cool.
Maybe. I don't know. I just made that up.
Speaking of making things up, why don't you tell me about the best vacation you ever took?
Oh, my
gosh. It doesn't have to be one that I was on. I understand that you've had a long and happy life before you met me.
I have had many, many vacations, and I can say that it's hard for me to pin down a favorite because I've enjoyed so many of them for so many different things. I very, very much enjoyed going to Belgium. That was cool. I got to see and do a whole bunch of interesting things. Visiting breweries, and I randomly got to tour the kitchen in a 3-Michelin-star restaurant, which there's not that many of those. And it was completely spontaneous, and I had no idea that the dude we were with, because, you know, he was speaking French and Flemish, and I was with two other people that spoke French and Flemish, and they were translating for me. And I had no idea until, like, after we'd hung out with this guy for, like, 4 hours and had beers after his shift was over. And then I'm walking, like, by a bookstore, and the dude was pretty much, like, the Emeril Lagasse of Belgium. Like, he's published all of these cookbooks, and he has his picture smeared all over TV.
What is Flemish for BAM?
I have no clue. I speak so little Flemish. Like, Rosetta Stone doesn't even sell Flemish.
But you speak some Flemish.
No, I don't. I don't speak a lick of Flemish.
Oh, okay.
So zero Flemish whatsoever.
So you went from I don't speak no much French. Flemish to none.
Well, I know beer.
Okay,
it's
what is...
Beer. That's pretty much it.
Bitchin', you speak Flemish.
If you can drink Jupiler, you're good. But I also would say, as far as favorite vacations, so I love being surprised. And I'm also very not trusting. And those two things don't combine well until you run into somebody who will do things like take you on these surprise vacations where you have no idea where you're going or what you're going to be doing. And we've done that multiple times, and every time it's been just an amazing experience. Like the road trips with the random puzzle stops, and I had to unlock these incredibly complicated cipher puzzles. I have a master's degree and I'm shitty at puzzles, okay? He had to explain to me how they worked.
You gotta find the key.
Yeah.
Is the first thing you're presented.
We weren't allowed to move on to the next stop until I figured out where we were going by solving the cipher. That was in just an amazing amount of thought that you put into that.
And I learned when I did that it's probably, you know, I should have checked to see if you were actually any good at ciphers before before I went to the trouble of making a very elaborate key in several ciphers.
It was incredible. I had no idea what they even were. I'd never been exposed to this before.
The escape room of vacation.
He was like, the letter is the key. And I'm like, the letter? But there's these amazing letters he created between these two characters that were running back and forth to each other. And I was like, this is just a great story, you guys. And apparently the letter
was the key. To the cipher.
I would be terrible if we ever did an escape room. I would just be dead weight, you guys. My brain don't work like that. But then also, I mean, that multi-flight trip that we took across the country where we had multiple stops, and I had no idea where we were going next. All I knew was that I needed to show up to Denver International Airport with my bags packed with some certain things in it. I was given a list of things to make sure you have in your bag. And I didn't even know until we got to the security checkpoint where we were going.
A length of rope, some formaldehyde.
At that point, the ticket had to be revealed because I had to pass TSA screening. But
and that first stop was LaGuardia.
LaGuardia.
There's not a whole lot of, it's like, LaGuardia.
I was like, oh, we're going to a shithole.
Yeah.
Not really.
Well, LaGuardia is a shithole. It's the shithole of airports, but it gets you to New York City.
Yeah. And which, then we saw Bette Midler and David Hyde Pierce.
We did.
And Hello, Dolly. And that was incredible.
Great. I will never buy tickets in the mezzanine level at the Schubert Theater again. It's warm and moist.
But it was an amazing show. And we saw Bette Midler.
It was a good show.
Bette Midler's insane. That was, I mean, yeah, there's so many amazing things that have happened to me on vacations. I can't pinpoint one moment that was the most incredible thing ever. I do know what my absolute worst vacation experience was.
I'd love to hear about it.
Almost dying from the flu the entire week that I had off of work while I was in Massachusetts a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, you almost didn't even get on the plane.
Yeah, I'm actually amazed they let me on the plane. They probably should have quarantined me. I had a mask on and everything. I had to wear a mask. Like, I was drugged. It was terrible, but I had to come home. But yeah, that was after I'd done nothing but lay in bed for 6 days, and then I promptly laid in bed for another 6 days, because I was like, before that, I was just like, oh yeah, people die of the flu, whatever, old people and babies, and then I was sitting there, I'm 40 years old, and I'm like, coughing up things that look like koosh balls.
And, old people and babies.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I understand how people die of the flu now. Like, my mom finally made me go to the emergency room, and they were just like, you shouldn't go anywhere for days. And I'm like, I have a flight out of Boston at 7 a.m. tomorrow. And I don't want to pay to stay in Massachusetts and not go to work for another week. So I made it home and didn't work for another 10 days.
That's the flu and NERF have that in common. It's old people and babies.
Yeah, if you ever start coughing things up that look like children's toys, go to the emergency room.
Yeah. Well, yeah, one time I had like 104 fever for 3 days straight, and the option was die or go to the emergency room, and I kind of felt like, I was like, well, okay, cool, I could die, and I'd feel better.
I love how we keep saying that we need to be more upbeat with this podcast, and then we're like, almost died, Debbie Downer.
Speaking of, what's the worst vacation you've ever been on, Heather?
Me? Probably when I went to New Orleans with my first husband and his parents. And, like, New Orleans was fun. That part was fun. It's just that...
Maybe you shouldn't say first husband and say starter husband.
Starter husband.
Because that means Colin's the second husband, which implies
you always move out of your starter husband, trust me.
Well, anyways, that first guy that I married, the starter guy. But his parents always plan these big vacations to go to places, and like,
you're talking about like the Clampets with like Piggly Wiggly bags getting on a plane, pretty much.
Yeah, but we drove in this little 4-seater Toyota, no air conditioning, in July, because we were going to go for the 4th of July.
To the south.
Yeah.
From here.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So that was bad, and then like, I'm relegated to the back seat, which you know how I
and
am when
like
I'm in
the
back
seat. You
I,
get the motion sickness.
I do, so that was bad. And then, like, his mother was sitting in the front, because his dad drove the whole way, back to and from, the whole way. So she's in the passenger seat, and she always had these sleeveless blouses on, and she'd put her arm back like this, and oh my God, she smelled so bad.
Did she have the bingo wings?
Yeah, and it was just, that was awful, and they tried to save money on a hotel, so we had, like, this hotel that looked like you'd see it on CSI at the beginning of CSI, where some hooker dies.
So
and,
just don't bring a black light, basically.
Yeah, and it was just scary, and it was like, you know, like, the paint was peeling, and there were no amenities, and everything, like, in my memory, everything is just, like, sepia-toned, because there was no color to it at
all. Just sadness.
That's what you remember sadness like. Yeah, it's like, oh, this was a bad memory. It's gonna be brown.
This vacation was so bad, I couldn't even see in color.
Exactly. And then the whole point of this vacation was to go on this paddle boat on the 4th of July, and go paddle boating down this river with all these other people, and see the fireworks and everything. Okay. And then his mother decided, I'm bored. There's nothing to do. I don't want to do the paddle boat thing. So we left and we came home.
Whoa.
Before the 4th.
Okay. So you guys tortured yourself and then didn't do the thing.
Right.
Holy shit.
And we were at their mercy because they were paying for everything and had taken us along. And
what?
Yeah. It was awful. Wow.
Jesus.
It's like, sorry, kids, Wally World's closed. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Moose out front should have told you that Jeff's mom was a bitch. Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I'm bored. I don't want to do the thing we came all this way to do. Let's go back. What the the worst part twice?
Because honestly, we left so early. We got there like two or three days before the 4th. And there really wasn't anything to do. Like, we went on
Where was this again?
In New Orleans.
Okay. I mean, New Orleans is great. There's always stuff to do in New Orleans.
Right. But for her, what she likes to do is go shopping. So she went shopping, but she never wanted to leave, like, the Bourbon Street area.
Where were you guys staying?
Hold on. She was trying to shop on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, that area.
That's
awkward.
That's
not,
you know.
Like, I mean, the first time I was ever on Bourbon Street, I saw a guy dressed up as a crayon puking in the gutter at 6 p.m.
Yellow crayon, right?
I saw Vince Neil when I was down there, walking down the street with, you know, the girl with her boobs hanging out and everything.
Did he look like the Yeti that he looks like now?
No, that was when he still looked semi all right.
Yeah.
But
semi-okay. Now he's not semi-okay.
Now has been hit by a semi-truck.
It was 90s Vince Neil, it was in the middle there.
Yeah.
But
that's a shitty vacation. So,
I mean, the best thing about it was the cemetery tour.
That really is, like, if they can make New Orleans bad,
that's bad.
They're pretty bad people.
Yeah, there's ex-in-law stories that abound. I didn't bring any of mine up. I got trapped on an island in Alaska with my ex-in-laws, and you know, it sounded like great. Like, yes, come to Alaska. We'll pay your way. Southeast Alaska. It's beautiful. There's mountains. There's oceans. We have a boat. And little did I know it was going to be expected work camp for 7 days. I had to paint a house. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I finally got to a point where I'm like, I'm going to go sit on the deck and read. And they got mad at me because I refused to work. And I'm like, I'm on vacation. You tricked me into coming up here to do your housework for you. That's not cool.
That's horrible.
Yeah. No. What's the worst vacation you've been on, Colin?
So here's the thing. You know me in vacations.
I know.
Does listener know you in vacations, though?
Possibly. We've talked about it in the past.
Okay.
This is the first show.
This is the first episode. Right. We have all new listener.
Right. So basically, my whole childhood up until my teenage years were filled with bad vacations. My dad was very much I want to go places and do things type person, and I wasn't so much that. So it was.
I'm not a get out and do anything.
I'm really not. And so that was very frustrating, and it, like, reinforced my whole I don't want to do any of this shit type thing.
Okay.
So I would say my worst one was driving to, I think it must have been Mississippi in July in a van. The air conditioning broke before we left Colorado Springs, but we pushed on. It was hellish all the way there, all the way back.
I'm getting a theme with bad vacations of the South with no air conditioning. Right?
It's a pretty bad place to be regardless of air conditioning. Right. So, yeah, without, wow.
Yeah, and that was also when one good thing to come out of that was I learned to stop biting my fingernails. I always used to be a fingernail biter, and we had this cooler full of sodas, and it was the pull top.
Uh-huh.
And
I couldn't
open them. Exactly. And it's like,
it was,
you know,
a survival thing.
And that set it off. I've never chewed on my nails since. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I mean, at least something good came out of
this
shit death march to Mississippi.
Exactly. And now I'm actually more open to going places. We just don't really do it much. Although in a couple weeks, we're going to spend a couple days to run down to
Amarillo.
Amarillo by morning. Yep. Amarillo, I'll be there.
So just a little tiny short thing.
But tell listener why you're going to Amarillo.
Go ahead.
No, you.
Oh, okay, my God. You guys are so good. I'm going to vomit in my mouth.
Okay. Next week is the 15th anniversary of our first date, but it's like on a Tuesday. Tuesday. So we decided we'd do something the weekend after that, and we were trying to think of something to do, and we thought, well, maybe we'll go up to Denver and go to the museum because they have a Da Vinci exhibit and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, then, like a day after we decided to do that, Colin found a link about how Whataburger has Dr. Pepper shakes.
Okay.
And he was like, let's do that. Let's go to Texas and get a Dr. Pepper shake. And I was like, I looked it up, and Amarillo was only 5.5 hours away from here.
Wow, that's so true.
Like, which is like going to Junction. Yeah. So we decided we're going to go spend the night in Amarillo and get ourselves some Whataburger.
Wow.
I think that's hella romantic.
Yeah. It's great. I mean,
It's
like
perfect.
Whataburger, I'll be honest.
And we actually have done something similar to this when we went up to Denver for Voodoo Donuts. And then we decided to just keep on driving north until we ended up in Cheyenne,
which
is where we ate our Voodoo Donuts, and then we turned around and came back home.
It was a Saturday,
yeah,
and we got up there, mid to late afternoon, and everything was closed.
Yeah.
Saturday night, Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Such a tiny, tiny place.
Everything was closed.
Shockingly tiny.
I grew up in northern Colorado, and all the joke was like all the people in Cheyenne would drive down to Fort Collins to party on the weekends because Cheyenne was so tiny.
Yeah. All I remember about Cheyenne was that, and I had had...
There was a burned out building that was fun to take pictures of.
They still have a Godfather's Pizza, too, which is weird.
Oh, really. Yeah. And there was a giant trout in a cowboy boot statue, or a cowboy boot that had a giant trout painted on it. I have a picture of me with it.
Cheyenne, that's all I remember. Cheyenne is the largest city and capital of Wyoming, and it has a population of 63,624.
Well, the entire state of Wyoming has barely more people than Metro Colorado Springs. Like, the population of Wyoming is, like, what, 600,000?
577,737. The entire state of Wyoming has the same population as El Paso County. Wow. Maybe less. Maybe less. Yeah. So that's not... I mean, that's... Think about this. The entire population of Cheyenne, Wyoming can't fill Mile High Stadium.
That's crazy.
Think about that.
So I've... Just being at a Bronco game, I've
you
been with
been
more
around
people.
More people... Than the entirety
makes you a little
Cheyenne
bit more
Wyoming.
Lenient when you show up on a Saturday afternoon.
And everything's closed.
Like, exactly.
People
right.
are like, "Hey, we got to take a break. We're only a few people here.
Like, it's Saturday. We're shutting shit down so we can go home and drink a beer.
Want to go rub one out and have a Schlitz?
Schlitz.
Now we know how Wyomingans party.
That's it. Rubbing it out and having a Schlitz. Maybe at the same time. Maybe with the can.
Maybe with
sharp
your sheep
edges. All right. You know, we've been talking for a while.
And I feel like something is amiss, though.
Why?
You haven't talked about any of your vacation experiences.
Oh, I guess you're right. I've been so generous giving y'all the floor, I haven't spoken about my vacations.
It's a rare moment of levity.
It is. Such a generous individual that I am. Not stuck on myself, ever. Well, so we started best and went worse. Best vacation... I mean, anytime I'm in New Orleans, I'm happy, and we're going to be going back to New Orleans next week, so that's great. I mean, I would say that big long trip we took where I finally got to see Wrigley Field and see a Cubs game, and we saw the Broadway show, and we hit New Orleans during a tropical storm, and then we ended up in Vegas.
And we also hit Cape Cod and went on a whale watch.
We did.
And we had a weird layover in San Diego.
Right, and that was that weird layover in San Diego and the detour coming into Chicago kind of knocked that down a peg for me.
That trip was insane.
It
was fun,
too
it was
many
insane.
Flights. It was ambitious, and I love to plan, and I was like, we can totally fucking do this. And by the time we're getting on the plane to go to Vegas, and we were coming to Vegas from New Orleans, so we had to connect through San Diego.
Don't
and because
ask.
There's a tropical
it just
worked storm.
That way.
Well, there's only so many direct flights from so many places, and
when
I travel on
when
Southwest.
You're trying to ride the points.
Yeah,
the,
I get points
free
for
tickets
flying
and
on
points.
Southwest. So, I realized that it was one too many flights, and that was really it. I was really airplaned out by that point. And it didn't put a damper on the vacation. Like, I didn't turn into a total asshole.
Oh, no. But it was something like, I think the whole vacation was 11 days, and we had, I think, seven flights?
Yeah.
Over the course of 11 days.
A couple fewer flights.
And a couple of drives that were in the 4-plus-hour range.
Well, yeah, because we had to go from New York City,
from
Midtown Manhattan
New York
to Cape Cod. And then Cape Cod back to Boston to fly to Chicago. And, I mean, I did the driving. Have you ever driven in Midtown Manhattan?
No.
Have you ever been to Midtown Manhattan?
Nope. No.
Even on a Sunday, it's ridiculous.
Driving out to Cape Cod is scenic, but it's a sandbar, and you can only go like 45 miles an hour on a 2-lane road. It's fucking bullshit. So these are things that I just don't... I was born, and I live here with the speed limit of 75,
I was
and
laughing
everybody
my ass
goes 90,
off the
and I don't
time.
Like going slow. That's for... chumps and suckers.
I remember him looking at me and he was like, it's only about 60 miles. I'm like, yeah, that's going to take us 2 to 3 hours. And he's
like,
what?
Fuck that.
And then we were driving
it
and he was like, yeah, it takes like
it
2 to 3 hours.
It's terrible.
To go
so,
60
I mean,
miles.
So the entirety of the vacation was great. And I'm glad that it actually came to fruition because I spent months planning it. And it cost.
It was incredible.
It was incredible. It was like $7,000 worth of fun. And it got every bit of fun out of it that we could possibly squeeze out of it.
I mean, we did so much on that trip. I mean, we had seats for a baseball game at Wrigley Field in the 8th row behind home plate.
7th row.
7th row behind home plate. Yeah. We were sitting next to people who were like third generation season ticket holders.
Yeah.
It was amazing because people were just screaming obscenities at the umpire and then would turn around and be like, oh, here, hun, here's your change. Here's your beer. And then they'd start screaming obscenities at the umpires again.
That was just standard practice. It was a great vacation.
Broadway, front row tickets to O.
Yeah.
So many
shows. Right. Yeah, front row tickets to O.
So
Splash
many
Zone
shows.
To O. Hadn't seen O in a long time. She had never seen it. And that's why we went. And you guys saw O.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it is still the exact same. The 90s weirdness that is O and that theater is still the exact. It's.
I was crying.
It's still the same. But, yeah, I mean, that's like up there. I think my best vacation would be fewer stops, but still have something to do with New Orleans. So that's...
Yeah.
And we've been
a couple times. Oh, that time we were there when we met Jeff Barry at Latitude 29 was pretty good.
That was pretty great. In fact, that was great because it was December in New Orleans, and it started to snow. And the people there were not prepared for snow.
Yeah, we went to New Orleans thinking, oh, it's December, it's going to be dreary here, let's go to a break somewhere where it'll be a little bit more mild. It was 60 degrees in Denver and snowing in New Orleans while we were there.
And guess what they don't have at the airport in New Orleans?
De-icer.
So our flight got canceled. So we're like, well, shit, let's just go back to the bar. So that's what we did. And... worst vacation would have to be any time I went to Las Vegas while I was still married, because that's where my ex-wife's family lived, and we would feel obligated to stay with them, and they are the blandest, most boring, least inspired people on the planet. It would literally be like your staycations. Get up, you got nothing to do but watch TV, and then maybe go to dinner at the end of the evening. And the dude would only want to go to one place because he had a club card and he had points and he could pay for our meals with his points. And that was it. And then we'd come back. He was like, I might play a little craps, baby. We had a time limit. Like, we could stay at the casino for another hour and then we're going home. And it was just fucking bland and boring. And I was like, you know, we're not going to stay there anymore. And I was like, but it's my stepdad and I want to be closer to him. And it was actually her real dad and stepmom. I was like, they're shitty people. I don't want to be around them. What that's like when you're like, whoa, your parents are shitty people. That really leads to some...
there's a reason we're divorced.
Yeah, exactly.
All of us, really.
Well, Colin, I don't think is legally divorced.
Well, no, I was never
because
married
before. You were never legally married.
Yeah.
So he's been in relationships. He just didn't end him as
so Colin is the smartest person in the room. Let's elect him king.
All right.
And move on.
Well, everybody, King Colin gets his coronation, and we thank you for coming back to us. The big program. Remember, fuck Montrose, and we'll see you back again sometime soon.